Smoke. Whorls and plumes of smoke. Rumi stares into the vortex, tapping a suction-cupped finger against his lips. To get so much particulate matter airborne, the temperature of the heat source must be higher than the surrounding. Rumi, move! Mez cries as she streaks through the moonlit clearing. Mez sounds fully panicked, which makes it all the stranger that they are, oddly enough, racing toward the smoke rather than away from it. Rumi knows that's the plan. Rumi's the one who came up with the plan. But Mez's panic reminds Rumi how foolish it is to head right into danger, when every instinct, Rumi, faster! It's Goji this time. A tail whips out to pick up Rumi, and he's suddenly in one of his favorite positions, right on top of a capuchin monkey head, fingers threading through tufts of eyebrow fur. He and Goji slalom through the treetops, hand over hand and foot over foot, rising and falling through the canopy. Capuchin monkey is the best way to travel. Thanks for the ride, Goji.
No problem, Goji says, breathing in bursts from the exertion. Literally, you're about as heavy as a palm nut.
I'm even lighter,
Lima trills from the sky above.
Not everything has to be a competition, Rumi grumbles under his breath. Goji's weaving through the trees starts to make him nauseated, so Rumi closes his eyes and uses hearing more than vision to track their progress.
While Lima chirps away above, the panther sisters, Mez and Chumba, slink through the jungle off to one side, only audible because they're moving at such breakneck speed. Sky soars above, making excited calls against the night sky. And finally, Banu the sloth is somewhere behind, still within earshot but falling farther into the distance. Banu was the one who volunteered to take rear guard, and they all agreed that he would join them at the ruins of the ziggurat of the sun and moon once he was able to get there. It wasn't an option for the whole group to slow down to sloth speed, not with the volcano preparing to erupt. Their strangest companion is Auriel. While Goji makes his way through the treetops, Rumi peers down at the monkey's right foot, where he's clenching what might appear to an unschooled observer to be a slender yellow vine. The Shadow Walkers know, though, that it's the reincarnated form of what was once the second greatest enemy Caldera has ever known. After taking his revenge on the Ant Queen and destroying her for good, Auriel's been reborn a fraction of his old size. This was all foretold at the Cave of Riddles, of course. But it doesn't make it any less strange to see this curious, mute baby snake looking out at the jungles of Caldera passing by, as if he's never seen them before. What is going through Auriel's mind? Will he grow bigger? It seems unwise to bring Auriel anywhere, but Rumi reasons for the thousandth time it would be folly not to bring him along. He just saved Caldera. Maybe he could do it again. If he doesn't destroy it. Rumi digs his fingers into the moist skin of his leg to distract himself from the compulsive loop of his thoughts. The volcano under their rainforest hasn't erupted yet, but its rumblings are accelerating. By this pace, it will be 8 nights before there's no space at all between them, which he can only assume means the volcano will be going off. An exploding volcano. Can any creature alive in Caldera help against that? Auriel seems to think so. Soon after the defeat of the Ant Queen, he had waited until all the Shadow Walker's attention was on him, then slithered around in the dirt, until he'd drawn a surprising likeness of a volcano cropping up out of the water. Then he'd reared back and smashed it all. Then he'd gone back to staring at them expectantly. Rumi was the one to point out that perhaps Auriel meant to stop the volcano. It was all they had to go on. Granted, it wasn't much. Think, Rumi, think. A better answer is always out there. There's a nagging feeling in his mind, and he realizes it's guilt. Emotions are always that way for Rumi. He'll feel a thing and only figure out what it really is after pondering it for a long time. He's let his friends down. That's it. Rumi's usually the one to come up with the big plans, though Sky's done his part too, but here he is, racking his brain and turning up nothing. A mind seems such a puny thing against the power of a volcano.
surely journeying to the site of the eruption is a reasonable start. But what happens once they get there? What use is something as insubstantial as strategy against a million tons of magma? They'll just put Auriel near it and hope he has some miracle to work?